In this episode, I am chatting to Leanne Weber, the host of the new podcast Behind the Business Blinds, and we're chatting about her podcast launch journey. Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Podcasting Tips and Tricks. I'm your host, Lyndall Harris, and this podcast is brought to you by Podcast VA, where we make the podcasting journey easier by offering a variety of done-for-you services. Today, we are back with another interview. I'm chatting to Leanne Weber, who is the founder of The Founders Team, a business mentor and a podcast host. Leanne's mission in life is to support and encourage business owners to live the life of their dreams, and nothing makes her happier than seeing her clients and peers hit their goals and push past their comfort zones. I'm actually a member of one of Leanne's Founders Team Mastermind groups, and she does like to see her clients hit their goals and certainly push past their comfort zones. And the reason I asked Leanne on the show today is because I watched Leanne go through the launch journey of her podcast, Behind the Business Blinds. And I really wanted to speak to her about the process so you can hear a personal journey from someone, particularly if you're thinking about launching a podcast and you feel like it's a huge mountain to overcome, both from the technical side of things as well as the emotional side of things. And what I love is that Leanne pushed past her comfort zone to launch her podcast a month ago. And so I really am looking forward to having this chat with her. Welcome to the show, Leanne.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so good. I've been wanting to talk to you for a little while, but it's just been about getting around to getting it all booked in. But I'd love to start the conversation with you telling everybody a little bit about you, your podcast, and why you decided to launch a show.
Okay. So as Lyndall mentioned, I have a business called The Founders Team, and we've got about 80 members in there. And through running that, I have seen so much comparisonitis between teams. So I've got lots of little small teams within the founders team, and, you know, people will look at each other and think, oh my goodness. And they will say this sentence that I absolutely despise: she is killing it. Whereas they don't know what's happening in the background. And then I'm talking to the person that someone else has said, yeah, she's killing it, hearing all of the issues and the challenges and, you know, all of the obstacles that she's overcoming in her business. And so I decided to launch Behind the Business Blinds. And that is to really go deep with business owners and entrepreneurs to find out what it's actually taken to get them to the place they're at today.
I love that, because everyone does have a different story, don't they? And you, comparisonitis is, oh, it's horrible. You've just got to stop watching. I know I've gone through it. I go through stages, and if I look at something, I think, oh yeah, so no, it's and I love the name of the show too, because it explains that you're going behind the business blinds and you're having conversations with people to help us understand that, you know, there's been a long journey for them to get to where they're at as well a lot of the times. And congratulations on your launch, because you did have a successful launch. You launched at quite high in the charts for the business category, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to number 3 in the entrepreneurship category and number 23, I think, in the business category.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good on you. So was the main purpose of launching your show to build your brand awareness for the founders team, as well as building your authority and expertise as a thought leader in the space?
Yeah, so I've recently launched a personal brand as well, because I want to get more into public speaking and mentoring and motivating people. My big goals are to be on a stage in front of thousands of people and encourage them to, you know, take action to what they want to achieve and their goals. So it was definitely to build that personal brand, as well as, yeah, just kind of help my members for the founders team. It was really for them. That's why I wanted to launch it.
Fantastic. I love that. So have you seen any benefits to date of launching your show? Because it's quite new. It's only a month or so. But with those goals in mind, have you seen any benefits so far?
Yes. So I know this is a vanity metric, but my followers have grown on Instagram by about 150, which is pretty decent because I don't have a huge following. I've also been asked to speak at a networking event and on a couple of podcasts as well. And that's only after a month. So it's definitely helping.
And it does sometimes just help grow that audience, doesn't it? But the fact that you've seen the benefits of being asked on other podcasts and being asked to speak, because people can go and listen to your show and see your style, see if they like your speaking style. So congratulations. That's fantastic. Now, something I think I know because I'm in one of your teams is I want to ask that question of when you launched your show, or when you were thinking about launching a show right back from the beginning, did you have any challenges that you had to overcome?
Yes, lots. So I definitely struggled with my mindset. Firstly, right back in the beginning, I struggled because I don't actually really listen to podcasts. I know I am a weirdo in that aspect. I prefer reading books. So I was, you know, definitely going through the imposter syndrome of, I don't even listen to podcasts. Who am I to have a podcast? Also, why would guests want to come on my show? So there was a lot of imposter syndrome. But then also, and this is something that I struggled when I started my business, is I was really worried that I was going to waste people's time. So I know how precious time is. I know that people listening are going to be busy business owners. So I was really worried that people wouldn't enjoy it. They, you know, would listen to support me, but not actually get any value from it. I was worried that not really any people would listen. I was also really worried about finding guests.
Okay. There's quite a few different sort of angles there, isn't there? Because interestingly enough, most of those are around a mindset issue rather than a technical, and some people come with the challenge of both of those. But when you, it's interesting that you say that you didn't listen to a lot of podcasts, because people consume content differently. So I love that even though you weren't necessarily listening to a lot of them, I imagine that your audience do. Well, I know that your audience do, because I know who your audience are, and I know that your team members, the founders' team members, would be listening to it. So I guess then, yeah, you don't have, not that you don't have, but you don't necessarily have a list of podcasts that you know that you love that you can then go and think, okay, well, that's what I like about that one, and I don't like that about that one. So you can sort of craft your podcast around that. So that's a different challenge in itself. But the imposter syndrome it's massive. It's something that I have polled in my group before, and so many podcasters have that imposter syndrome. And a lot of them have it in a slightly different way to what you're talking about, but the same thing, like why would people listen, or why would guests come on the show? And I did an episode with Fiona Redding back in the first season all about imposter syndrome. And a lot of the time it's around feeling like a fraud, or feeling like you're going to be caught out as a fraud. So it really can mess with the emotions. And I know that a lot of people that I speak to, they get stuck with even launching their show because they have to push through this imposter syndrome. So what did you do? How did you push through it, I guess? Did you have people say anything to you, or did you do any sort of mindset techniques? What did you do to get through that sort of side of things?
So just to touch on what you mentioned as well about, you know, not having any favorite podcasts to listen to, what I did do is ask my members what they love and why, and then I went and listened to those ones.
Perfect.
So that's
perfect.
Something that helped. Yeah. and then in terms of the mindset stuff, I am a person that if I say I'm going to do something to other people, I will do it. So I set a date and I told everyone about it so that I couldn't back out.
I love that. Sometimes that theory of, oh my gosh, I just can't not do it now because I'm going to be, you know, I'll be embarrassed, or I'm going to fail my own goal. Then, yeah, I love the accountability of putting it out there and telling people.
Yep. That's literally what pushed me through. I think if I hadn't told anyone the deadline or the launch date, sorry, I don't think I would have launched yet. I would have still been procrastinating on it and doubting myself on it. So, yeah, setting a date and putting it out to the world, I started building hype. I invested in, you know, the graphics and the cover art and everything like that. So I couldn't back out. Excellent. Just had to get it done.
Excellent. I do love that, because sometimes it is a case of just pushing through it. You just have to keep going and think, just do it, just do it. And I know I felt really I had big imposter syndrome when I launched my show, and I felt really like I'd built the community. I'd been building the Facebook group for a long time. So I knew that in my mind, I was thinking, oh, you know, people can go and listen to another podcast about podcasting. But for me, it was somebody saying to me, but I want to listen to you talk about podcasting. Yes. And that was kind of like this little, oh, okay, that's kind of just what I need to just keep going and just keep pushing through it. And I don't know if I publicly set a date, but I know I said it to a few of my business buddies and they were like, that's it, you're doing it. And that is the date I'm doing it. So, yeah, sometimes having that goal, having something, an event or something that you're going to where you just go, I have to have it launched by then. But I love also that you asked your members. So you had a community to launch to, which often – well, I won't say often, but sometimes people do have a community and others don't. But if you do have a community, then go and ask them, survey them about not only what podcast do they like and why, which I think was a really, really smart move on your part of going and then listening to those and seeing what you liked about them and how they worked, but also what sort of topics do they want to cover? Who do they want to hear on the show if you're doing guests? And having that audience feedback can give you a lot of confidence to start with as well. So if you're a bit emotional about launching and imposter syndrome is kicking in, then having that little bit of conversation with your community up front also gives you the confidence that you're delivering something that they're interested in hearing.
Yeah, definitely. And then they feel like they've been part of your journey and they're going to share the heck out of it when you do launch. I didn't tell them my plans for a podcast. I asked them first, what do they want to hear? What, you know, if I was to launch a podcast, what would they want it to be about? And so many people said they want to know the real stuff. They want to see behind the business. And I was like, well, you're in for a treat. That's what I've got planned.
And that is fantastic because not only in your group as well that you could get that feedback, you've got quite a few people who are thinking about launching a podcast, who are podcasters. And so there's a really good dynamic of getting that feedback, but also support in there. And I know just within my team, within your founders team, there was one person who's looking to launch a podcast. There was yourself and there's another couple of people who are interested in them as well. And I could even just use that little team to say, brainstorm some activity or some topic ideas and things like that. So really, if you're worried about what you're going to talk about when you're going to launch a show, then go and ask people what they want to hear and what they'd be interested in. And then, as Leanne said, they're more invested when you launch and they're going to help it launch successfully.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of marketing activities, do you mind sharing the marketing activities that you did around promoting your podcast?
Yeah, of course. So as I mentioned, I set a launch date. So then I started kind of building up hype on my personal Instagram. I was showing behind the scenes of my setup, of the guests that I was interviewing. I shared it with my members. Obviously, they're my target market. And then they all shared it as well. I obviously asked the guests to share once I'd launched. I posted in Facebook groups. I emailed my email list, which is only about 200 people. You know, it's not massive. I shared on my personal Facebook page so that my family and friends could share it. And I asked them all to review it and subscribe. I shared it on, obviously, my personal and business Instagram accounts, Facebook groups. I've already mentioned that. LinkedIn. And I literally asked people individually to share for me, like people that I have close relationships with that I know have quite a, you know, decent influence in the small business community. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea too, with people with similar audiences. And actually, last week's episode was about podcast launch marketing. And so that a lot of those activities are the sort of things that I would say to people as well, is it's really about building the momentum and the hype and making sure you do it in, well, certainly when you're talking about the Apple Podcast charts, which is the main directory where you can get up in the charts quite successfully, it's about the activity on your launch day or within a 7-day period, and that activity is around the subscriptions and the actual listening to the episodes and what have you. So I love that you basically shout it from the rooftops. You don't have to have a massive audience to launch a podcast. Yes, there are people who have got, you know, 15, 20,000 people on their Instagram accounts and all of that, and they might have a very different launch process or launch journey than you might, but you don't, I certainly didn't have a big audience to launch to either. And it doesn't need to be, I think people talk about the numbers a lot, but when I talk to clients and I'm onboarding people, if you think about talking to 50 to 100 people every week, if you were standing talking to them or giving a presentation to them, you'd be happy with those numbers. So it will build over time. It's a long game, podcasting. So I think the podcast launch marketing is important, and then taking quite a number of those activities that you have mentioned into marketing your episodes every week as well, or every fortnight, every time you launch. So are you doing similar marketing activities with your weekly shows?
Similar, but I haven't been as loud and proud about it.
Why is that?
I don't know, actually. I guess time is definitely an issue at the moment. I'm super busy in my business. Next month will be a lot quieter, so I'll probably have more time to spend on podcast marketing. And also probably another mindset issue that I hadn't thought of. I don't want to bombard people or annoy them.
I totally understand that, because that's a little bit how I feel. I don't do a lot of marketing in general, a lot of the social media marketing. I do a little bit. I do a lot of, you know, in my Facebook group, I do more commenting and building relationships in there. So it's funny, because the promotion of your episodes is so important, and a lot of people will drop an episode and not do any marketing, which obviously down the track they won't see growth and what have you. But I'm a little bit the same. I feel like when I post, it's always an episode, or I'm republishing an old episode or remarketing an old episode, and I feel like I'm just don't want to be in people's faces too much. But that's what marketing is all about, isn't it? And it's, if you think about how many people see those posts, how many, what is Facebook, 1 or 2% of people see our Facebook page posts. And it's a funny thing with podcasting, and I'm 27 episodes in, and I still have a bit of an emotional, like every time I put an episode out, I think, oh, you know, I hope people like this, and I hope it hits the mark and they get something from it. So I do speak to people who are like, they don't have any imposter syndrome or any emotional sort of hiccups along the way. And I do think, damn, I wish I was that person.
I also forgot to mention as well, my husband probably wishes I was that person, because probably 2 weeks or 1 week before my launch, I was such a moody bitch. Like, my mood swings, I was so excited, and then I was so nervous, and I didn't even realize that was why until maybe the day I was launching, and I was shaking, literally shaking.
Oh, gosh.
Couldn't eat. I felt so sick. And then I realized that's why I'd been so moody in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, see, people, the emotional side of launching a podcast is a real thing. Like, it's not just for some people are just, out there. Others, they do feel the nerves right up until the launch. And like, what you've got to do is just get it out there and keep going, and you will feel better about it. But I love that I feel like that if I haven't got episodes batched too far in advance, if I'm not organized and I'm sort of chasing my tail, I think I get like that. And then that possibly makes me a little more irritable, or test you with my children. Like, they're like, no, I've got to get this done. So I totally get that. Is there anything else you want to share with us about your podcast launch that I haven't really touched on? Because I know we haven't really talked about the technical side of things, but you pretty much followed through Steph's A to Z plan. So how did you feel on the technical side of things? Were you feeling confident there?
Having Steph's podcast launch plan was so helpful, because I would have spent hours and hours researching what to use, how to use it, if I didn't have that. And I wasn't too nervous, because my husband is a software developer, so he's super smart with all of that stuff. So I knew I had him to rely on if I stuffed it up as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah, we can. Something I would say to people, and I do say all the time, is if you're feeling like a podcast launch is just a huge technical challenge, which it is for a lot of people, then find that resource there are lots of podcasting courses out there or launch plans and what have you. So find the resource, find one that works for you or you resonate with the person and buy it, because the amount of time that you will spend Googling and watching YouTube videos, it will just, it's more expensive than just buying the course at the end of the day. And something I also see a lot is there are so many different ways to do little things in podcasting. So you might Google one and get one response, or you might Google and get five responses. Then on YouTube, you got a different two, and then you don't know what's correct. And then it just adds to the stress of a podcast launch. So find a resource that is going to help you get through the steps, and then at least you can push that aside and know that if you've got any emotional stuff you've got to get through, then you can concentrate on that, because the technical stuff is explained to you quite easily. Anything else with your podcast journey?
I was going through a personal brand exercise at the same time. So I was getting all of the visuals created for my personal brand that I was kind of building. And so I just didn't really plan my time very well. That was really stressful. I had to rely on my designer. She was working on the weekend. My photographer, she was working on a Friday night editing photos for me the night and I launched on the Tuesday. So yes, definitely grateful for them, but I did not manage the project very well. So it does take a while. I mean, you can do it quicker, obviously, but yeah, as I was going through the personal branding stuff at the same time, I definitely needed that 3 months to do it.
And that, I think we did an episode with Lauren Stratford from Seriously Sorted recently, and we talked about when you think about a podcast launch, you've really got to think about all the steps involved, not just getting your microphone and recording your audio. So stepping out every step of the way, and I think she said it well when she said it's not just putting in your project management tool like launch a podcast, it's about knowing to do that you have to do artwork and you have to do intros and outros, you have to find music, you have to do your recording. So knowing all of the steps for your launch and then planning it properly is really, really good advice, because the people who have got that longer, whether it's longer or more succinct plan, I guess, it can help you feel a little bit more confident about it, or know that you've done all the steps properly.
It also helps with building the hype, because you can show the behind the scenes. And I didn't realize as well how much of a commitment probably should have looked into this first, but how much of a commitment podcasting is. So because I do interviews for every episode, they're at least an hour unedited. So I do the interview, that's an hour. I edit, that probably takes me, Lyndall's going to have a heart attack when I say this, that probably takes me at least 2 hours. Probably need to outsource it to Lyndall. And then as well, 2 weeks ago, I made a mistake. So when I dragged my outro into GarageBand, it went halfway into the episode and I didn't realize. I thought it just didn't populate into GarageBand. Didn't listen back to it. So there was an outro right in the middle of my episode. So now I've realized I have to listen back to it as well. So it probably takes me, and then I have to do the graphics and the marketing side, add the show notes. All of that probably takes me at least 5 hours an episode. So it is a commitment. But in saying that, my episodes are long.
Yeah, it is a commitment. And I think the more you get into having a process set up, I often say to people, podcasting's not hard, especially once you get into the routine and you've got a workflow happening, but it is a big commitment because, as you say, if you're interviewing a guest, then you probably got to do a little bit of research about the guest, and that varies for different podcasters. Some put in maybe half an hour and others put in 3 hours. Some might read a book or that the guest has published. Then you've got the interview, the editing, the show notes and all the bits that go with it. So you do really need to take that into account if you're going to launch a show, that it is a big commitment. And if you're going to do it on an ongoing weekly or fortnightly basis, then you want to keep up that consistency. So perhaps something like a seasonal show, which is something that I moved to fairly quickly after I launched my podcast because I found that I did really like the break in between seasons. So that is a really good piece of advice as well. Knowing how long things take you to do, so that as you are putting that into your weekly tasks or whatever it is, whether you're batching or not, you know that it takes you 2 hours to edit an interview and what have you.
The other little thing that I've learnt, I've had quite a few of my guests say that they've really enjoyed my interview style and my questions. And you just touched on the research side of it. And to be honest, I don't spend much time researching them. Of course, I follow them on Instagram. That's how I find out about them. But I like to ask questions like my audience would want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that if I've researched, I kind of breeze over things because I already know it in my mind. Whereas if I don't research them as in-depth, I ask all of those in-depth, behind-the-scenes questions because I don't know either. So I'm thinking like my audience.
I love that. You know, I would hear a lot of podcasters, perhaps in my group or just even in conversations, say, oh, you should put in a lot of research to show that you should put in some time so that you are showing that you know your guests. But I think that's a really good advice too, in a slightly different way to look at it, is you don't want to breeze over some of the things because you know every detail about them. So perhaps that there is that balance there. So I think that's fantastic advice. Again, like, I love all these little bits. This is why I love talking to different podcasters, because everyone does things differently, and hopefully having these conversations gives everyone else a different way to think of it if they haven't quite sort of thought of it in that particular way.
Yeah. Do you know what actually made me realize that was my dad? And he said, you interviewed Jess from Collabosaurus, but you didn't explain what Collabosaurus is. It's because I know her so well and I know her business so well.
Yes, it's so true. And I'm thinking it, most of the people that I've asked on the show and I've spoken to, I've known quite well. So again, I don't know if I've glossed over things perhaps, or whether in my conversations about podcasting, whether that's relevant. So yeah, that's a very good point that your dad makes there. And I love feedback from your family and friends. Sometimes is the stuff that they'll tell you the honest truth, whereas you might not hear that through your members. So that's perfect.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Dad. He's listening to your episodes too. That's really cool.
He loves it. So cute.
So we're just going to start with wrapping up now. And at the end of every interview, I ask a couple of questions. Firstly, what do you wish you'd known when you'd started?
Is this in terms of business or podcasting?
We'll go podcasting.
I think it's actually the same kind of thing though. I wish I'd, backed myself more. And this is something I've worked on a lot in my business as well, is that we can do anything we want to do. It's our mindset that stops us. So I wish I'd done it sooner. I wish I didn't doubt myself so much or overthink everything so much. So yeah, I think mindset work is, if you struggle with it, trying to kind of overcome that and looking up resources, following people. Like, I know this is, some people do not like Tony Robbins, but he helped me a lot with my mindset last year in terms of business, which also did help. Even though I still struggled, it did help with my mindset when launching a podcast.
Yeah, good on you. And it's about backing yourself, isn't it? And yes, I totally get that. So what is one tip that you would give to others about podcasting?
Have a plan, have a strategy kind of, 3 months in advance, and set a date so that you actually do it and you're not stressing like I did the morning that you launch because you forgot to do a step and you have to re-upload all of the episodes. So definitely planning and giving yourself enough time. I would even, if you set yourself a deadline, give yourself the week before as your deadline to have it all ready and prepared, because then you can allow for mishaps.
Yes, absolutely. You don't want to be uploading on the day that you say you're going to launch. So I agree. Give yourself plenty of time. Yes, it's quick. You can upload a podcast and get a podcast launched pretty quickly, but give yourself the time and the space. Absolutely. That is great advice. I love that. Where's the best place for listeners to get in contact with you, find out a little bit about what you offer?
Probably my Instagram, Leanne_Weber. I'm on there a lot.
Fantastic. Well, go and check out Leanne's Instagram. I will have links to her Instagram and also to her websites, because you've got leanneweber.com.
Yes, and thefoundersteam.com.au.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us a little bit behind the scenes of your podcast journey, because I know a lot of people launching will resonate with what we've talked about today. So thank you so much for sharing your story, Leanne.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun reflecting on that journey that just happened.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe in your podcatcher so you don't miss an episode. And whilst you're there, I'd love it if you'd leave me a rating and review to help other podcasters.